Good evening. Well, I saw that several folks, as I was walking up, had kept Psalm 99 marked. We won't be going there. In fact, it's going to take us a couple minutes to get to our text in Genesis 22. But first, let's start off in John chapter 4. John 4, starting in verse 19. This is the woman at the well, and she saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I have a question for us to consider. Why am I here tonight? Why are you here tonight? Have we come because it's Sunday night and you're supposed to be here? Have we come because our parents said, get in the car, you're going to service? Have we come to hear the gospel proclaimed? It's a good reason to come. But if that's the only reason, I'm afraid we may have missed it. At the heart of the matter, why do believers gather together? Why do we come together? We come desiring to worship. I want to worship. I want to worship my Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. I want to worship my God. And tonight, I pray that He'll teach us a little bit about what it is to worship. Before we can worship, before anyone can worship, he or she must be taught of God. There are certain things that you have to know, and sinful man by nature does not know them. But we have to know how to worship. And there are some elements that must be present in order to worship. And as Lord reveals these things to us, as He opens our eyes and He causes a sinner to grow and see their need of Him, we learn that there are at least three things required to worship. We need a sacrifice. We need an altar. And we need a priest. Missing any one of these three elements will result in false worship. Now, when my kids were younger and I was teaching them in Sunday school, sometimes I would throw out a question that I knew they wouldn't know the answer to, just to kind of get discussion going. And as they got a little bit older and a little more experienced in Sunday school, they would take a guess at the answer. Jesus Christ. They were being taught well. Christ is all. Well, that is our answer tonight. We need a sacrifice. Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. We need an altar. Jesus Christ is our altar. And we need a priest. Our Lord is our priest. Now, if you would, turn over to Genesis chapter 4. As we grow, or as the Lord begins dealing with us and reveals something of our nature to us and something of who He is, one of the first things that we're taught, I'm in trouble and I need a sacrifice. And these two things go hand in hand. Genesis 4, verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Our sacrifice must be innocent, must be free from the condemnation of death. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. But what he brought was cursed. If you look over in chapter 3, verse 17, Lord said unto Adam, cursed, and this is towards the end of the verse there, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Cain brought an offering to God that he thought would be accepted, that was cursed. The fruit of that was cursed is cursed. But Abel, he brought of the firstlings of the flock. He brought a sacrifice that was free from sin, free from the condemnation, free from judgment, that had no fault and didn't deserve to die. And his offering was slain. The blood was spilled instead of the sinner. The sacrifice died in his place. No sinner can come into God's holy presence to worship without an innocent, slain sacrifice. As we grow up in life, the older we get, the more we learn. And all of that builds on what we've learned before. So it is with spiritual life. We start out as babes, knowing not much of anything. I need a sacrifice. And scriptures grow with us. They, in Genesis, the Lord clothed Adam and Eve. And then we're given the sacrifice that Abel brought. And then we continue growing. And in chapter 8 of Genesis 8, Noah has gotten out of the ark. Genesis 8 and verse 20. And Noah builded an altar. This is the first time the word altar is used in Scripture. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Noah came, he built his altar, and he offered his sacrifice, burned it. And after it was burnt, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. I want to spend some time this evening on the altar and see what it is, what its purpose is, how it how it magnifies Christ, how these Old Testament pictures magnify Him. So, with that said, let's go over to Genesis chapter 22. And we'll be camping here for a little while. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. This account covers 3 days of Abraham's and Isaac's life. And if we read this account and the Lord's pleased to open our eyes and our understanding, we'll see that this parable has Abraham representing God the Father, and Isaac representing, for a large portion of it, God the Son. There's also a portion of that in which Isaac represents us. And we'll look at each of those as we go through this. Now, we're taught and we learn that we need a sacrifice and we need an altar. And not always for a child do you understand at first why you need something. You're hungry, you cry out in hunger. You don't understand why you're hungry, just know that you are. Why do we need a sacrifice? Why do we need an altar? Look up in verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. Abraham took the fire in his hand. Scripture records, the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Fire is often associated with our God's wrath and his fury. It's important to note that Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. That wood represents our sin. And it was laid on Isaac. The fire in the hand of the Father, the wrath of God, and the knife, the judgment of God. We, in our nature, apart from Christ, are under condemnation and wrath of God because of our sin. We deserve His wrath poured out against us, and we deserve His judgment upon us. Knowing now the necessity of the sacrifice and the altar, join me in verse 9. And I've often said the hardest thing, and Gabe said it this morning, we want to keep the gospel so simple. Seeing what I saw in this verse and being able to convey it simply. It's a very difficult thing to do. But verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. When we read through that the first time, did you, like I've done for so many years, read through it and it's a single verse of scripture? Not much has happened here. The greater thing happens over in verse 13. That's where we want to get to, right? Where the substitution is made. But let's look at this a little closer. There's a lot that happened here. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. We're not told the age of Abraham and Isaac at this point. The next chapter, Sarah dies at 127 years old. That means Isaac was about 37 years old, Abraham about 137 years old. I've heard some say that Isaac was a little boy here. I personally don't think that's true. I kind of think he was in his prime of life, probably 20 at least. I think a better picture would be that he was around 33. That's my personal opinion. But this isn't a child going on a mountain to worship. This is a young man. He carried the wood by himself. And there was a significant amount of wood for going to offer a burnt offering. So, say Isaac's 20 years old. Abraham would be 120 years old. Abraham built an altar there. The father prepared the altar. He went to work. I don't know at this point if Isaac knows that he's going to be the sacrifice. That's what Abraham intends. But Isaac's set aside, be still, I'm building the altar. And Abraham builds the altar. We're so accustomed to our conveniences of everyday life, that doesn't sound like much. But Abraham took some time preparing this altar. This altar was going to contain the wood that he was going to put his son on top of, slay him, and burn his body as a sacrifice to God. Abraham's being very careful with everything he does. He doesn't want to waste the sacrifice. It has to be accepted. And it has to be burnt. So he spends some time building this altar. God the Father prepared a body for his son to come down from glory and inhabit, to bear the sin of his people, to suffer the wrath of God in that body and to give that body as a sacrifice. What is the purpose of the altar? The altar holds the fuel for the fire that will consume the sacrifice. The altar directs the flames of the fire to the sacrifice. What's so important about the sacrifice being consumed? In Noah's account, it wasn't until after the sacrifice was burned that God smelled a sweet savor. Sacrifice must be burnt to be accepted. And the altar holds the sacrifice as well, so that the flames will consume the sacrifice rather than the one deserving death. Back in verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. There's an art to burning a fire. I've tried to burn fire before and failed miserably. My dad had a neighbor trying to burn some debris. You would think he had a big pile of debris to be burnt, and it had been out there quite a while. And the guy tried to burn it and failed a couple of times and finally asked Dad for some help. Dad came over and moved things around with his tractor, put the wood in order, started the fire, and it burned all the debris. Abraham is a skilled fire builder. He knows how to lay the wood to make a cooking fire, to make a fire for light, or to make a fire to burn a burnt sacrifice. There's various ways you can lay wood to have the fire react in certain ways. He laid the wood in order to burn the sacrifice. This wood that Abraham laid in order, this wood that Isaac bore alone up the mountain, represents the sin of God's elect. The sin is the fuel of God's wrath. Without sin, there is no wrath. When Adam was in the garden, prior to disobeying God, prior to breaking His law, they dwelt in unity. They had fellowship together. But once transgression of the law, once sin entered, Adam and God could not have fellowship one with another without a mediator. We'll come back to verse 9 in a few minutes. Because we've seen, for true worship, we must have an acceptable sacrifice offered as an atonement for our sin. An altar in which the sin is consumed and directed at the sacrifice in order for the wrath to not overflow and spill out on those for whom the sacrifice is offered. And a priest. We need one to intercede on our behalf. A priest that is separated or sanctified by God. A man ordained to go into the presence of God with the blood of the sacrifice to make peace on our account. From the beginning of the message I said, and we'll find all that we need to worship, a sacrifice, an altar, and a priest in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at a few scriptures to bear that out. Keep your place here in Genesis 22. We'll come back to it. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Well, let's start in verse 9. Then said he, our Lord said this, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, that will that God came, that Christ came to do, we are sanctified through the offering or sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We have a sacrifice, not of the blood of bulls and goats, but he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, without sin, to suffer and bear what was due to me, due to his people, as the innocent sacrifice for sin. All those sacrifices offered throughout the ages, from the first one slain by God to provide a covering for Adam and Eve, to the last offered before Christ's death, all pointed to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When we worship, we bring to remembrance that our Lord left glory, robed himself in our likeness, lived under his own law as a man, and fulfilled his law perfectly. Being innocent, having no cause of death found in him, he freely laid down his life on Calvary's tree as our sacrifice. Now turn over a couple of pages to Hebrews 13, verse 10. Hebrews 13, 10. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Jesus Christ is our altar. He was the altar in ages past and in time to come. For verse 8 of chapter 13 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. God prepared himself a body to dwell in. A body to fulfill the law in. A body to bear the sin of the elect in. A body to be sacrificed. And a body to be an altar. As our priest, Christ entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Turn back over to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Having put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, our Lord rose again and afterwards ascended into glory, where he ever liveth to make intercession for them that come to God by him. Now go back over to Genesis chapter 22. Abraham laid the wood in order. And verse 9 concludes, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac here somewhat changes from being representing God the Son to representing ourselves. He can be viewed as both. He still represents God the Son, who in the eternal covenant freely bound himself to suffer and die for those the Father gave him. As our Redeemer, he freely bound himself to suffer and die on our behalf. Then Isaac can represent the sinner, who God is doing a work in his heart, who, Lord, reveals you're dead in trespasses and sins and bound by the law, who says, I'm guilty. There's no struggle. Isaac didn't struggle against Abraham binding him. We don't struggle when we're made to see what we are in God's presence. I'm guilty. I deserve the sentence of death that is laid upon me, and I freely surrender. Isaac now represents me. For my sins and transgressions, I deserve the justice and wrath of God poured out upon me. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Consider these two men just from the fleshly standpoint at this point in time. Abraham is standing over his son, whom he loved, holding a knife to slay him. And Isaac is laying there in submission and obedience to his father, allowing it to happen. When all is stopped and a substitute is provided, these men had built altars before. They had offered sacrifice to God in the past. But they've never worshiped like they worshiped at this one. They've never seen Christ the substitute like they did now. And they never went to another altar again, quite the same as they had before this instant. We tend to want to end the story there. Just, okay, it was overdone. They went back to the other men. But again, it's not quite that simple. Abraham and Isaac watched that ram be consumed by that fire. They didn't leave until every bit of that fire had burned out and the sacrifice was burnt completely. Only when it was clear that that burnt offering had been accepted did they move on. At Calvary's mountain, that man hanging on that center crucifix, he's free from sin. There's no cause of death found in him. And he's suffering there for this one, where I deserve to be. At the sixth hour, the sun darkens. God has business to attend to. And this business, at this point, doesn't include any of his creation. As Abraham and Isaac left the men that had traveled with them behind, so God the Father and God the Son go together alone to conduct the business of salvation. God's altar, the Son, has been prepared. God's lamb slain from the foundation of the world has been hung on the cross. The sacrifice, having been examined, is, as we heard this morning, free of sin. There's no cause of death found in him. He's innocent and a fit sacrifice. And now it's time for that great mystery to be brought to pass. God the Father made God the Son sin for us. Our sin, which separates us from God, is placed on God, and God forsakes God. God's wrath and justice are poured out on his Son for the sin that he bears in his body. That body prepared for him endures the wrath, and rather than the sacrifice being consumed, the wrath is consumed. He consumes the fire until every sin laid on him has been purged. He, our altar, has borne the sin, directed the wrath, and protected those that he came to save. Then, of his own will, he gave up the ghost. He laid down his life as our sacrifice. And our priest entered into heaven with his own blood to make intercession for us. Isn't he worthy of our worship? As we come here, week after week, may we come in the spirit of worship. May we come and find declared Christ our sacrifice, our altar, and our priest. And might we believe on him. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Come to Christ. Sue him for mercy. Look to him for your salvation. He's worthy. He's able. He is a mighty Savior. Amen.